from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe Burrow clearly has given some thought into an 18th game and had some ideas about it. He was on Pardon My Take, and they asked him, in the scenario of an 18th game, what would he want it to look like? I still don't think, and Drew and I will never agree on this part, but I still don't think Joe Burrow openly talking about it is a great thing for the players' union, when owners now, like, we already have one of the stars of the game openly considering it, right? Like, the minute you start considering change, the negotiation, you're already behind the eight ball in the negotiation. Let me just play you the audio from Joe Burrow. This was on Pardon My Take, when he was asked about what the 18th game could do to a season and what that could do for bye weeks.
What do you think the perfect football schedule is in terms of weeks and bye weeks?
How many games are we playing?
You tell me.
18.
18, got to have 2 bye weeks.
I like
and
that.
I think it'd be cool to do normal bye week schedule that it is now. Like, have it spread out. But then, like, week 13, do like the Pro Bowl break, where you're doing like the 7-on-7 and all the skills challenges like the NBA does, because I think that would get more ratings for the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
And then it would also give everybody that bye week going into like the last 6 games of the year.
My big idea is, especially now with the expanded college football playoff, you do the week before Christmas, no NFL, college football playoffs, give everyone a break to go do their shopping.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah, and then you get everyone reset. The whole league is on a level playing field for the
Yeah, and then you have
stretch.
Guys that are injured that would be able to potentially come back, and you want your best players out there as a league. You want them in the last 6 weeks of the season. You want your best players on the field, so I think that would be a smart idea.
I think we fix football. And then you get the President's Day Monday after the Super Bowl off.
Is that would that
would be
that's what I was
going to
ask. When would that Super Bowl then fall? Because that would be a challenge, but that would be perfect.
Perfect.
So that was Joe Burrow on Pardon My Take. The last part about the Super Bowl, I think most people are on board with. That's not a new idea. If you go 18, you extend the season out enough to where suddenly Super Bowl Sunday, the next day's President's Day, a lot of people would have off. Not everybody, but a lot of people would have off.
I like how you preface that because
every time I mention that, someone's like, I still have to work on President's Day. I get that, but a lot of people do get President's Day off, and that's what's intriguing to some people about having the Super Bowl a week later. I don't want to get bogged down into the Pro Bowl conversation, because I think some other stuff is more interesting, like we did earlier, but I don't like the Pro Bowl being midseason either. I don't care about the Pro Bowl. It just doesn't matter. I don't think if I'm a general manager or I'm Andy Reid that I would want Patrick Mahomes playing in a middle of the season Pro Bowl game. I just don't think that's smart. Would the league like it? Maybe more people will watch it's in season, but I just don't think the best players, just like they do now, are going to choose to play in that game. You're not going to get more participation mid season from the star players. They're in a grueling 18-game schedule and you think they're going to play in the Pro Bowl midseason?
Well, first of all, how can you have a Pro Bowl midseason? Because maybe some guys turn it on at the end of the season. Remember a couple years ago, Jared McKinnon did nothing. He scored 9 touchdowns, you know, after December. So why would you
That happens in other sports, though, right? Guys in baseball have a great second half of the season.
I know, but the season's so short in the National Football League, it is tough to say, all right, midseason, you're the all-star in the Pro Bowl. And again, guys aren't going to go play it anyway. It wouldn't matter. They don't play it anyway now. And the NFL's fine with that. The NFL is fine with not having this. I did like the drone drop a few years ago. That was kind of cool. But they don't do that anymore. But no, the 18th game, we know is going to happen. I think it's great because you can have two TV windows. Forget about the Pro Bowl and all that. It's two more weeks of NFL action because you get in the bye week, which you're resting anyway they play, but now you're getting the other TV window on the other bye week you're getting, so it extends the NFL regular season out, and we all win if we're viewing it.
If you're the NFL, though, why wouldn't this be doing favors to college football? Why would you help them out? You know, they discussed having potentially in that scenario.
That break would be for the
college football playoff.
Yeah, the playoff.
If you're the NFL, why help them? You know what I mean? They don't have to do them any favors. We know this year is going to be crazy, that two-plus week stretch where college football playoffs are going on and the semifinals and everything while the NFL's going. If you're the NFL, why would you just step aside?
They don't care. They have already taken over Christmas Day from the NBA. They've taken that over. They'll play, you know, games middle of a week on a Wednesday. The NFL trade deadline was moved back a week this year. The NFL trade deadline is actually on November 5th, which also happens to be the election. So the NFL's like, I don't care. We're going to do what we want when we want. Even have Miley Cyrus sing.
So somebody brought up the point.
Allegedly.
Somebody brought up the point. I think that is a fair point. Is when a universal buy in the middle of the season screw some people because their buy would be within a week of that, or which I think that's something of where you'd have to figure the schedule out if you did the two buys, or do you have a staggered couple of buys in week 13 and 14 of the season, and then in week 5 and 6 or 6 and 7.
The other thing this does, Drew,
it opens the season up into thirds, essentially.
It opens up the streaming services again. Like, the NFL is going to bank on this because when you add that extra game, Netflix already in the picture. But now, you know, instead of splitting this, now you'll maybe have a Peacock game.
They don't want to start the season earlier. They've been pretty vocal. The owners in the league have been open about that. That's why I think the whole Super Bowl being a week later makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to push it. Right now they play right after Labor Day weekend. They don't want to push it to Labor Day weekend. College football starts then and everything, and even the week before for some teams or whatever. But we're heading to 18 games. The Pro Bowl midseason thing, I guess ratings, if all you're wanting, could go up.
Ratings
sure
would help, but it wouldn't help. The players
Mahomes
wouldn't have a good reason.
I just keep using Mahomes. Like, if the team is in week 9 of the season, just play 9 straight games without a bye, you think he's passing up the bye to go play in a Pro Bowl flag football game? No way. I wouldn't want him doing that. Brett Veach doesn't let him play basketball in the locker room. Like, do you think he's letting him play in a Pro Bowl game midseason?
The ratings are fine because it's the only NFL action going on before the Super Bowl, that week before it, and people are watching because it's just football. It's something to watch. It's something on, so they consume NFL football. And the ratings haven't been that bad for the Pro Bowl.
This,
as much as it sucks,
I'm not making this into a Joe Burrow conversation.
Oh no,
Burrow face.
But the text line, you guys are so triggered.
What?
If
do you mean?
Joe
what
keeps talking like this, he's going to get lit up by some unhappy players. Joe's.
Well, I do think he pissed off some other players by saying this.
Chase Daniel won't be in one of them.
But who's against? Who is against two bye? If you're a player and you're against two bye weeks.
No, I think it's the fact that Burrow's so openly talking. But like, I understand the question was asked to him, and he answered the question.
Yes.
And so that's not on him. But I think when you have a star player openly considering and discussing options already before the players union has agreed to 18 games, you've already lost the battle, if you will, the negotiation is all I'm saying. If I'm someone that's in the players union or in charge of the NFLPA, which already screws this stuff up anyway, I think it's not great that the star player is already like, yeah, we, you know, 18, that's fine.
But
18,
Joe doesn't represent the players union. So whatever.
He doesn't. I don't know if he's the Bengals player rep. I actually don't know the answer
to
that.
I don't think he is.
Well, he ticked the players off multiple times.
What he says doesn't. It technically doesn't matter. Joe could be saying this and it doesn't matter because he's not one of the guys making the decision. The NFLPA could be like,
leverage.
It doesn't. But the owners could say Joe Burrow said this. The NFLPA will say, well, Joe Burrow's not in this room. Joe Burrow's not representing the NFLPA. So what he says technically doesn't matter. This is what we're asking for.
the star players in the league.
I know, but the NFLPA is going to turn around and say that if they don't agree with what Joe Burrow saying in terms of negotiation.
The players should have leverage over owners, but they never utilize it. Like,
correct.
The league doesn't exist without the players, right? The reason why we watch is because of the players, not because the owner that owns the team. But the reality has always been in these CBAs and otherwise, like, the players never are willing to go to the extreme of what's required probably to get what they want. And then it'll be something that they get back something in return that the owners were already willing to give up. The owners destroy them in these negotiations to the point where, like, I don't feel sorry about, and I'm very pro player most of the time, but, like, I think the owners always end up caving at something they were going to cave with anyway. And the players always give up something much bigger.
I think Chase Daniel nailed this thing. He says on X, I guarantee you every NFL player seeing this is not happy with Burrow. The NFLPA is already having meetings about damage control. The owners just gained some leverage over the players. This is what happens when a top five quarterback speaks in favor of 18 games, then you throw in.
Yeah, and take Burrow's name out of it, because I know Drew gets mad when we bring up Cincinnati.
So what happens
when if it's Josh Allen?
Very sensitive.
So what happens?
Very sensitive.
You think I am. If CJ Stroud said it, it's the same conversation.
I think you get very sensitive.
If Justin Herbert said it, it's the same conversation. If Patrick Mahomes said, I want two buys and this is how I want it to work, I completely agree with what they're saying. What happens, though, when they go to 18 games and the owners say, we're not giving you two buys, we're taking away two preseason games, you have one preseason game, and there's one bias.
Well, the players should say no, but they won't.
But they won't. That's what I'm saying is that when people say, when Chase Daniel says the players should be mad, they should not be mad. Because when Hollywood Brown gets hurt in week 18 and you have no wide receiver two for the playoffs,
stop it.
Everybody's going to look back and say,
that's
maybe today. Maybe if we had two bye weeks.
That's twice
He's
today.
Chasing stuff.
Twice today, Drew has brought up a Kansas City athlete suffering a key injury. Earlier in the show, I can pull the audio. Drew said Bobby Wood Jr.
Knock on wood.
What did you say about Bobby Wood Jr. earlier?
I said people are complaining about the Pro Bowl not being in the middle of the season when the All-Star game for every other sport is, because guess what happens? If somebody gets hurt, if Bobby Witt, knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen, if Bobby Witt turns first and tears his ACL,
I can't turn your mic off, but I want to turn your mic off.
The funniest thing is Burrow said this, that he's hurt more than Mondesi. And he's the one out here saying this stuff.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's the one that his wrist might not actually allow him to throw a football pass.
He's out there playing the piano now, honestly.
Hey, you guys have been heated at each other. Now I'm getting a little ticked off. But you guys, last night, we had a group chat going, too.
Yeah.
Group chat going, getting ready for the show. And I think I was playing Madden or something. I was just trying to get the video game mindset for this tournament, you know, we got coming up.
I'm pretty sure Drew started this.
And
I think I
Drew
did.
Drew was hosting a radio show.
I'll explain in a second.
Drew was filling in last night on After Hours, right? So Drew did a good job hosting a show last night. I hope you guys checked it out.
Great job, except for 20 minutes.
And you were arguing with Drew during his show about Joey freaking
Chestnut. Because he came at me. He came at me.
No, you guys were to preface this, you guys were talking about Joey Chestnut again, eating the wings. I was like, this is ridiculous.
He ate how many wings yesterday?
200 in under in 38 Gross. Minutes or
which
whatever.
Which is insane athletic accomplishment.
And I said, he's not an athlete.
And that set Bink off, and you guys were arguing about who the hell is an athlete and not.
Bink
said Hunter Renfrow's less of an athlete than Joey Chestnut, which is absurd.
Dead wrong.
Which is absurd. Hunter Renfrow's, by the way.
Who does America see more?
It doesn't matter. Bink, more people see Miley Cyrus than they do. People know Miley Cyrus more than they know Hunter Renfrow. She's a celebrity. Joey Chestnut is a celebrity.
Unfortunately, you're probably right on that one.
Joey Chestnut is a celebrity and a pro eater. He is not a pro athlete.
Okay.
Hunter Renfrow is a pro athlete.
But bags and cornhole, stuff like that, is considered a sport.
No, yeah. But
even said bowling wasn't a sport, and that really pissed people off.
Bowling is not a sport. It's an activity.
It's a sport.
No, it's not.
You know how hard that is to consistently get strikes like that?
Bowling is a sport, Drew.
You don't respect.
But Joey Chestnut's not a professional.
Karjitsu. We talked about that yesterday.
Not a
guys
sport.
Fighting. In a car. Technically, that's a sport.
Bink, if you go and you try to eat 200 wings and it takes you 4 hours instead of 38 minutes, you're not an athlete. You can say, if you think Joey Chestnut is an athlete, you can say, I downed 200 wings at one time. I'm an athlete. You wouldn't say that.
True. 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes makes you athletic.
No.
No, it just means.
No, it does not.
You know how to. What was the person on the text line yesterday? What did they say? You know how to relax your throat? Is what somebody said on the text line.
16 mustard belts and you just blow past it. The guy's the GOAT.
Okay.
You came at me, though, about this non-athletic stuff.
I know. I said he's not an athlete, though. And I knew that.
Someone said ever since Drew had his first Coors Light last week, he's been feisty. Once you shot that firework off last week for the first time and the Coors Light.
Yeah, don't blame me.
Did you leave here and go to the fireworks stand and grab you a case of brew?
No. I went home and opened up a cider is what I did.
Why didn't you? Did you unbutton your shirt a little bit and stick your chest out a little bit and go, just became a man today.
I felt no more like a man after doing the fireworks stuff and drinking one sip of a Coors Light and then dumping it out in the sink afterwards.
One sip?
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh,
I told you. I said
that's blasphemy.
I said that I would not
waste
drink
a beer like that.
I know. I know.
It was a 16-ounce or two.
I gave the warning.
Someone says they want to find themselves a woman who loves them as much as
they
love Joey Chestnut.
They would be the one.
Great relationship.
You love Joey Chestnut.
I respect his game, Drew. I respect his athletic prowess.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Pink sent us a 12-year-old photo of him and Joey Chestnut last night in the group chat as well.
Best friends.
I think it was like 12 years ago.
Joey's America, man.
We talked about the bowling thing last night as well on After Hours.
That's a sport.
And no, it's not.
Listen, there's a lot of things in this country we go do and we drink beer and have fun with, like bowling, like golf and fishing and stuff like that. But if you take that away,
maybe
it's a sport.
Maybe for the pro athletes, it makes it a sport, but I don't think so.
All right, up next, your next chance to qualify for this college football video game tournament. You got to be the first caller that's willing to come on the show and sing the fight song of the team you're going to use in the video game. 913-586-7610. You'll also hear part two of Vern's interview with John Sherman, where they talked a little bit about the stadium and the future media rights and TV contract for you to watch Royals games.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
There is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs.
On your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up in a few minutes, you're going to hear part two of Vern's interview with Royals owner John Sherman. They addressed stadium, more about this year's performance in the first half, and also media rights into the future and what that can mean for blackouts and other things with the Royals. Full interview up on 610sports.com. Before we get to that, though, we mentioned next chance right now to qualify. We've got Preston, who wants to be part of our college football video game tournament, which is taking place Tuesday, July 23rd at Hy-Vee Arena with Level Up. We're qualifying people all week long. The rules on this show: to get a spot, you got to be the first caller and also sing the fight song. We got Preston joining us here on Cody and Gold. Preston, thanks for calling in, man. So what team do you think you're going to be rocking?
I'm going with Ohio State, man.
Okay. I'm going to make you play Cody round one, Ohio State, Georgia. I think, you know, that should be the setup. All right. Now, did you go to Ohio State, or are you just an Ohio State fan, or you just want to play with them in the game?
I'm just an Ohio State fan, man. I've been watching them since high school. So.
Fair enough. Okay, fair enough.
He picked a damn good team.
Drew, do you have the correct music for Ohio State?
Cross our fingers. This one says the fight song, but it has two names to it. So we're going to.
Oh, boy.
We're going to press track.
It should be the Buckeye Battle Cry.
Okay.
Is that a yes, Drew? Is that a yes?
I would venture to say he's got the
wrong
one. Here,
but don't start singing. Play it for a second and we'll restart it. Is that the right one?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, all right. So we'll back up. All right,
perfect.
Once he starts playing again, Preston, it's your turn to sing the fight song. We'll get you a spot. So go ahead, Drew.
In old Ohio, there's a team that's known throughout the land. 11 warriors, brave and bold, whose fame will never stand. Then when the ball goes over, our cheers will reach the sky. Ohio Field will hear again the Buckeye battle cry. Drive, drive on down the field, men of the scarlet and gray. Don't let them through the line. We're going to win this game today. Come on, Ohio. Smash through to victory. We'll cheer you as you go. Our honor defend for a fight till the end for old Ohio. Go State!
There we go, Preston.
All right. Good job, Preston.
Preston, next qualifier for our college football video game.
It was really bad, but it's been better than some of the other ones.
They've all been, you know, Drew, your mic is still on, buddy. We can hear you.
Drew,
your mic is still on.
I'm shocked you didn't have a Burrow reference with Ohio State.
I would have turned Drew's mic off.
Burrow graduated from.
We could hear Drew on the phone talking to him.
Burrow graduated from Ohio State. I'm shocked Drew didn't bring that up.
That'll come later. That'll come later. But no, next opportunity coming up later on today during the drive, if you want a chance to qualify for the college football video game tournament, 3 o'clock and 4:30. And they just play a sounder on their show. So if you don't want to sing, might want to try to qualify during the drive.
We like that fun, man. College spirit, man.
That's
enjoy
right.
it.
That's exactly right. So we're qualifying 24 listeners throughout this entire week. I mentioned, though, Josh Vernier had a great sit-down interview with the owner of the Royals, John Sherman. We played part one earlier in the show where I think you probably liked what you heard from John Sherman when he was asked about the payroll, right? He said he would rather take on payroll and not give up prospects in a potential trade. Thinks they're in a competitive window. Also said selling is not on his radar right now. Love hearing that. I think if you consider this week, it's a huge week to continue to emphasize why they should not be selling. Need to finish at least 500 during this week before the All-Star break. But again, if you're just joining us, the game against the Cardinals tonight has been postponed till tomorrow. They're going to play a split doubleheader starting tomorrow. It'll be Alec Marsh in game one of the series. Michael Wacha will pitch tomorrow night, but no baseball tonight. But here's part two of Vern's conversation with Royals owner John Sherman.
What are the kind of questions, comments? What are you hearing from Royals fans when you're out here at the K or out and about around the city?
You know, it's interesting. Mostly what I'm hearing right now is thank you for putting this team on the field, you know, which is really kind of interesting, right? Because that's our job. That's our job. We're just doing what we're supposed to be doing. But really a ton of gratitude. I get stopped in the parking lot. Thanks for signing Bobby Witt. Thanks for making baseball relevant again in Kansas City. So that's been very gratifying. But I'm humble about that, and because look, this game is extremely humbling in general, right? And got off to a good start. You know, you're never hitting on all cylinders in this game. You got sometimes the pitching needs to carry the bats. Sometimes the bats make up for the. So we got to make sure that we have depth in all aspects of our organization. I still believe that pitching is the most important thing. You mentioned Cleveland and Tampa. Mm-hmm. Another thing I would say, though, look, we want to learn from other organizations, but we want to have our own brand of baseball. We want to have a Royals brand of baseball, right? And I think that's what JJ and the team are developing. We have some similarities maybe with how we go about things, like Cleveland or like Tampa. But I want us to be. We also want to have a unique approach to this. I think adding Bobby Witt for the long term on this roster, because I think it's important that our fans. You know, they have to be productive players. They have to fit our economic system. I think it's important that our fans, there are guys like Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt that are going to be here a long time. I think that's meaningful to our fan base.
The fan base has been turning out slowly but surely as the season's gone on. Looking at it as of this morning, still the average in the fifth smallest crowds in Major League Baseball. How does that hit you? Is that surprising, disappointing?
Well, I think, you know, winning is what's going to bring the fans back, right? And it's a lagging indicator. But I think we're projecting now to be somewhere between 20 and 25% increase in attendance. And that's without assuming, you know, a playoff run, a deep. So that's certainly progress. When you look at the history of the Kansas City Royals, if we're consistent, and we're in the hunt, you know, we should draw 2 million fans. That's how I feel about it, you know. We're not projecting that for this year unless it could happen if you really got hot, but it usually takes a couple of years. I think in 14, we were less than 2 million, right?
Yeah.
In 14. About 1.8 million-ish, something like that, right? In 15, 2.4 maybe, and then in 6, was it 16 our best attendance year, like 2.7 or something. You know, so it's a lagging indicator. But all the things that I look for that you know, in the business side that tell you the fans are engaged, increased attendance, increased television ratings, 20%, even net of continued subscriber loss on the part of the cable companies, or merchandise, game day merchandise sales are up. All those things, streaming. You know, we've tried to work with Bally's to have them do specials on the Bally's app, so our streaming numbers are more than double over prior year. And we're doing some interesting things that the rest of the league is actually noticing.
You mentioned you wanted to acknowledge what Tampa and Cleveland do well, but create your own identity in Kansas City, your own brand of baseball, a unique brand. Anything stand out? What specifically are you hoping people come away from a Royals game saying that's a Kansas City Royals ball club, a John Sherman, J.J. Piccolo, Matt Quatrero ball club?
Well, I think it starts with pitching because that keeps you in the game. You know, your starting pitching gives you a chance to win. Your bullpen has to be able to close it out. But also an aggressive, you know, good defense, athletic, speed. I love the, you know, you got to play good defense, and we're doing that. I think that's having an elite defense is important, but also putting pressure on the other team when you're running the base pass. If you think about the Bobby's leading the league in triples. He's got to be right there. But that's the most exciting play in baseball is the triple. We had the back-to-back ones a couple of weeks ago, which didn't even involve Bobby, which was interesting. But and you can see it in the ballpark, right? When he laces one in the corner in the gap, the whole place stands up, right? And we're all waving Bobby around the base pass. So I think that's an exciting brand of baseball for the fans, but just as importantly, it's a winning brand of baseball that puts pressure on the other team. I think I would say that I like the way the Diamondbacks, when they were in the playoffs last year, they had an aggressive, and, you know, they were the last team in, right? They were given up for dead, I think, and kind of made a little run there and beat Milwaukee in the wild card, beat the Dodgers in the divisions, and beat the Phillies to get into the. So that's another example like we've seen here. Getting in, that's, you know, you talk about being motivated to make the playoffs. In baseball, if you get in the dance, anything can happen.
It is strange in that I don't know if it pays to try and build a great team anymore. in that.
Like a super team.
Yeah. It just doesn't seem to, certainly not in a market like this. We, you know, we talk about mortgaging your
future. It's hard to do. Yeah. You need to have some luck. You got to stay healthy. But when you think of the super teams, right, it's the Phillies, it's the Yankees, although they're in a rut right now.
And the Dodgers have one title since Gibson took Eckersley deep. I mean, these
right. The
Royals have the same amount of World Series titles as the New York Yankees over the past, 25 years? So, you know, the
super teams.
Doesn't always pay off.
Yeah, we had a team in Cleveland, I think, in 2017 that was really deep. Good rotation. We had brought in Edwin and Encarnacion. Mm-hmm. We had a good bullpen. And we were actually called one of the super teams along with a couple. But it was very difficult to sustain and maintain. We traded Encarnacion away, I think, after maybe the 18 season, after the 18 season. But and got Carlos Santana back, who we released when we got him. So I think good pitching, good defense, team speed, those are the keys. And then a team that I think the clubhouse, I think a team that plays together and is unselfish and has a good approach at the plate, that can have an impact as well.
Yeah. Get, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans in a 5-game series. I don't think anyone would want to see those two. You mentioned the triple.
No, I like that. That's a good point, too. In a short series, there's some equalizers in baseball.
Bobby getting 4 or 5 at bats. The guy can hit triples to right. left field, like we're seeing here at Kauffman Stadium.
He can hit home runs that get out in a minute too.
He's unbelievable. Yeah, 112 miles per hour on that home run against the Rockies.
It was gone in about 1.8 seconds. Right? It was that ball was. You're talking about in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ball was out of there.
Roasted. Eric Hosmer, a future Royals Hall of Famer, recently, he a big fan of Bobby Witt Jr., talked about bringing the fences in at Kauffman Stadium, saying that's going to cost him 10 home runs. It could end up costing him an MVP in the next few years. I don't think that's going to happen here. Is there a desire at a new ballpark to not have a triples alley, to not have a bigger ballpark?
You know, we've discussed it a little bit. JJ and I have discussed it, and there's there's two sides to that, right? I mean, one of the things that it's not just Bobby Witt hitting more home runs. You know, you think about this is, in some ways, it's a pitcher's ballpark, right?
And so,
and so it gives us the ability to, so maybe pitchers want to come here, right? But maybe sluggers don't want to come here, right? And so we've talked about that, the impact of that. But I think as I get the sense, though, that JJ and the front office feel like, you know, we have a better chance to build a team that can excel. I'm not saying the dimensions would be the same as here in the new ballpark, but in a big ballpark where speed, defense, and pitching can prevail over the long haul.
There are two questions that I get on the postgame show that I normally end the postgame show because I don't have any answers, and it is the stadium and the television deal. Do you have anything you want to pass along to the fan base regarding either one of those two? Because God knows I've run out of things.
I would say on the television deal that long term, this is going to be better. We're going to get rid of all these antiquated blackouts and all these things. Right now, Bally's is in bankruptcy. There's whether the timing, but long term, there's two things that we talk about probably more than anything when you go to an owner's meeting, but the first one's media right now. And so long-term, there's going to be a solution for that. We're working hard right now, like the Bally's app, right? If you don't have cable in your house, I think we've had two months for the price of one. And so we're working with Bally's in the league to try to, but long-term, look, we want to get paid for our media rights, but I think I've said this before. Reach is more important than revenue. The revenue, we'll get there on the revenue. That'll take care of itself. But expanding our reach is what the revenue will follow, but access is really what's more important than making money in the short term on the media rights. As it relates to the stadium, what I would say about that, look, this is about, I take my responsibilities very seriously, both for the community and for this franchise. And this is focused on securing the future of the Royals and Major League Baseball in Kansas City. It's the project. The process is really about our commitment to the region, to our fans and to the organization. And we're going to get that. We're going to get that right as well. So I would just say on those two things, it might not appear so on a daily basis, but we're going to get both of those things right. We're going to fix the media. Our fans are going to have access and be able to watch our games. Somebody stopped me in the hall the other day in Tulsa. They couldn't watch our games or something. That's kind of ridiculous, right? In Tulsa, they can't watch our baseball games. But I just told them we're going to fix that, keep an eye on us. And then the stadium project will be, that's just something that'll also, we'll get that right as well. That's all I would say to the fans is have a little patience, but we'll get that right.
You going to the All-Star game?
I'm not going to the All-Star game.
Watching it on TV like the rest of us.
You know, I've been to the All-Star game. I actually, after with four in yesterday, I asked JJ, is there anything we need to do for those guys? He said, those guys are going to be taken care of. And, of course, JJ is in the they're in the draft room.
Sure.
Right? I mean, when they show the draft in Texas, all our guys are up here in some kind of white room in the war room up here, so.
Well, John, I greatly appreciate the time. Congratulations on an outstanding first half and finish strong.
All right. Thank you. A lot of work to do. Thanks for having me.
That's John Sherman, Royals owner with our Royals Insider, exclusively Josh Vernier. Full interview up on 610sports.com. That was part two. We played part one earlier. Really good stuff, as always, when Vern sits down with John Sherman. This section of the interview really focused in on kind of more on the business side of it than the front end of the interview, talking about where things are at attendance-wise. That's always a discussion, like, what's attendance going to be like? They said they're projecting 20-25% increase in attendance, but he also noted that usually you see the increase after you win. We all saw that firsthand. In 14 and 15, and in every market, right? When you win, the next year is when you reap the biggest benefit financially or just the attendance or whatever it may
be. Anywhere. I mean, Cleveland's attendance is through the roof this year. They're going to hit 2 million this year, and their attendance has been terrible the last decade.
Obviously, been bigger crowds. I don't think anybody's surprised when you hear them say there's a 20-25% increase in attendance is what they're pacing for. 20% TV rating increased. I can tell you, ratings are up for radio as well. Like, there's more interest, right? There's more interest when it comes to the Royals. Merchandise is up, all of that. I mean, that's what you would expect to hear. I still think, going back to part one, though, the part that if you're a fan, you probably care more about than hearing about future new ballpark dimensions would be the payroll, right? That's always the biggest topic in Kansas City and in baseball in general. But talking about where they're at financially, and I think the fact that not only did they give Bobby Wood Jr. an extension this past offseason, but when you nail the free agent signing that you had of Seth Lugo, when you gave some more cash out there for JJ Piccolo, and he used that money in as good of a way as possible of almost every single free agent signing, nobody got better value, and now he's got a chance to start in the All-Star game. That's a great sign. It should give you more confidence of your ownership and John Sherman to continue to give resources to JJ Piccolo, because to this point, he's making great decisions with it.
He's making great decisions. And of course, in the first part, Sherman talked about Kyle Wright, who's basically on hold this year and he'll start next year, be in the rotation. Guarantee he'll be in the rotation next year if he comes back from that injury. Okay. But it's just kind of what a fan he is. And the talking about in the TV deal, that'll work itself. I think eventually these teams are going to take that in-house. I think people are going to buy streaming subscriptions in-house the way things are going right now.
I mean, the blackout thing is the worst part of it. Totally. That's the part that's the worst. He gave the Tulsa example. I mean, it is
similar. Get rid of that. Like, or up in Iowa and you can't watch them. Yeah, the blackout rule's got to change in Major League Baseball. It's got some things to do, but you know, his experience in Cleveland, he brought it up there with the trade deadline, what they would do, making moves. They had a super team once, and, you know, Vern even brought up the super team, and John said, good point. And
look at the Cardinals, who they're playing. We're going to talk more about that series in 10 minutes, but hey, the Cardinals, their track record, yes, they've been the bigger brand and everything, and they are the bigger brand, but as far as titles, post-1985, it's not like they have more than the Royals.
No, the Royals have been the two World Series since they last won. Now, listen, the Cardinals' track record and historically, I mean, it's next to the Yankees, the next best team in baseball.
Right, but I also just don't care what happened in 1970.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
the last decade, it's been the Royals. They're the state's team. Just kidding. this side of the state thinks that, but.
Well, we're going to go back to the stadium stuff. We're about to find out how much the state values the Royals here, aren't we?
About to find out.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that. Do you have a random question for us, Bing? Do you have something up your sleeve?
Random question.
For Gold.
Oh, boy.
For Drew.
Oh, boy.
This is kind of personal. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Alex Gold and the movie star that he is at this point. The text line's really picking up on this tension you and I have, Drew. Do you feel...
Text line says you have straight up Wagyu beef going on. You know?
Do you feel that I've been unfair to you, Drew? Because the text line doesn't seem to be, but are you trying to agitate me? Because last night you started this beef.
I'm not trying to agitate you. I'm just telling you how I feel, and it just irritates you, I guess.
I'm shocked you didn't bring up Burrow with the Ohio State song that was sung, seeing that's where you actually graduated from.
Yeah, school-wise. It's weird, though.
Unless he picked up his master's at LSU.
He went to Ohio State for school, or he went to Ohio. He said, I don't know who he was interviewing with, but he said, I went to Ohio State for school for academics, but I went to LSU for football.
You can do both at both those schools because they're both powerhouses. But do you feel I've treated you unfairly?
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure, man, because this whole text line saying we have beef and all this stuff, which we don't. It's a healthy working relationship. It's just a few things we differ on.
We like
on.
To have a good time, and the people are entertained by it. That's a good thing.
Texas says Bink's playing victim. LOL. Bink playing victim.
I think
over
you
here.
Are a little bit, but I have nothing against you.
All right.
You felt attacked.
What do you mean call him Burrow face? Texas pointing that out. You know, you guys need to sort this out. We got to do a show together tomorrow as well.
Bink, you guys got to sort this like three out, or four you know? Times. You also threw Gold under the bus.
I didn't throw Gold you under the bus.
I'm fine. Are you guys okay? You know,
I'm good.
Miley Cyrus, I did, but I don't remember throwing you guys under the bus.
Oh, I'm fine. I've
been very respectful.
The text line is worried
about
both of you. You and I, we're good. They're worried about you guys.
I'm good. I'm good with Bank. I have no issues with Bank.
We're good.
That was a random question.
That was the random question. I was a personal thing. Does he think I've been unfair? Am I treating him unfair?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's a total personal thing. Gold, you were in what's trending.
Yeah, you put me in that. Yeah.
Well, but you were.
That's true.
Yeah.
But he is trending.
I know, that, but man. I don't know if anybody, I don't know if he wants to be. At the moment.
I can't believe you don't have the cameras going because you're wearing the Show Me Series shirt.
Well, I did wear the shirt for the I-70 series. We're going to talk about it's postponed for tonight. No, the camera stream is down. This is it worked yesterday. Did the same thing today. Didn't work.
Why don't you put your camera up, Drew?
We got to do a radio show. I spent the first 20 minutes of the show trying to figure out the camera. I'm not gonna worry about that anymore.
Stuff happens.
So the cameras are down for the day. Maybe they'll work tomorrow. We'll see.
Let's hope so.
See what happens. All right, Bink, you mentioned the shirt. I am wearing the I-70 shirt for the Show Me series. Let's talk more about this series. It's not going to happen tonight. We're going to have to wait till tomorrow, but I have a question about it. Plus, some odds are out on a future left tackle maybe signing with the Chiefs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.